And now, sports and other stuff. The Closers. Join the talk now. 800-229-5378. News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Isolated, crossing over, lost it, picked it back up. 16-footer is good. Robinson puts Mount St. Mary's back on top. Mount St. Mary's has stolen it, literally. The Mount back in the NCAA tournament for the first time in 3 years. DJ Johnson got three for a layup. Uncontested for Johnson. 88-79 K-State. Kansas State has won in the NCAA tournament for the first time in 5 years.
He'll fire it up. Three ball. Left corner pocket for Steph Curry. And the Warriors lead by two. 101-99. 29 points on his 29th birthday. Deflected to Curry. He's got it. Game over. Ball game's over. It was not pretty.
And I knew it wasn't going to be pretty. We knew that. We just had to grit it out.
Pavelski scores on the rebound.
Maroon back to McDavid. He scores. Connor McDavid, lucky number 7 for the Oilers tonight.
And welcome in. It's the Wednesday edition of the Closers here. We've kind of changed things up just a little bit. Normally he bats second following us, but he's an important enough guy, and we got him leading off the show today because the coaching carousel for the University of Missouri, according to many, many sources, including at PowerMizzou.com, has come to a stop. Gabe Yarmer from PowerMizzou.com. Okay, will people be happy with the name that you're going to say has stepped off the coaching carousel?
Well, let's be clear, George, at this point, like, all signs point that way. Mm-hmm. We certainly expect it. If I've learned anything from covering the coaching carousel, you better not say it's done before you know it's done, right?
Well, what in the Matt Painter are you talking about?
Right. My point is, I have had no one from Missouri say, you're good to run with it. Mm-hmm. It's finished. With Konzo Martin. Now, look, Jeff Goodman's reporting it's done. Everybody's reporting it's close. We reported along with others early this afternoon he had been offered the job. He has resigned from Cal. I'm sure it's lawyer talk. I'm sure it's working out minor details, things like that, before it gets released. But it is an important point to note, as of 4:09 this afternoon, I have not gone on record anywhere saying this is a done deal.
Okay, so the coaching carousel seems to have slowed down a notch. Is it a slow enough down and a name that this fan base can get behind and be excited about? Because we know how fickle they can become.
Yeah, look, here's where I've been at with the Konzo Martin possibility. And, you know, hey, speaking of the coaching carousel, this is worth pointing out. He was on everybody's board the first time. That doesn't often happen. Mm-hmm. You know, we all had him as a possibility. Where I've been at, I think there were opportunities maybe to do better, but it's good. Like, I don't view this as a home run, but I view this as a solid double with some dominoes that could fall that could make it a home run. You know, and it's clearly better than where Missouri's been. It should end the myth, if the numbers are accurate, 7 years, an average of $3 million, that Missouri won't pay a coach. My Twitter timeline has gone from how come Missouri won't pay a coach to how come Missouri is paying a coach so much. You know, you think I'm joking.
No, really, I've seen it.
Yeah, it's good. I think it will get some excitement back. There are other things that could happen that would get even more excitement back.
Gabe, you're on the record always as saying, you know, they will only offer one coach. It will be the coach that accepts and that kind of thing. And we will get the AD and coach speak quotes later at a press conference. But the optics kind of coloring around to fill in the blanks, was this his first choice? I mean, is that kind of what we're getting at when we see the length of the contract and how it kind of boiled out?
I think it was his first choice. And, guys, I posted on our message board this morning and that on Sunday, Jim Stirk and Brian White spent 5 hours in Oakland, California. I was told that was obviously in relation to a meeting with Konzo Martin. So I believe they met with Tom Crean. I can't say for sure that Jim Stirk did. I don't believe they did any other interviews. So, you know, I think that I really believe Konzo Martin was at the top of this list from day one. And really not from day one of the search, from like day one of a couple months ago when they kind of knew this is the decision that was going to be made.
Gabe Yarman, PowerMizzou.com, with us here on The Closers. If you're not following him on Twitter or at PowerMizzou.com, one, I don't know why, but secondly, we'll figure that out here at the end and help you get to that point. Earlier, also, in addition to your post this morning, Alex Schiffer had one related to maybe what could be considered carry-ons with this entire process, and that is the possibility of the Porters coming back to Columbia. And now there's a little bit of murkiness thrown into that one, but how realistic is that for people to lack on to?
Look, I want to be very clear here. This is by no means a foregone conclusion.
Yes.
We had finally heard enough chatter from enough people that we felt like it was worth putting out on our message board. There's a lot of talk that the Porter family is very interested and intrigued by the idea of coming back to Columbia. Now, if Lorenzo Romar gets fired, and our understanding is that determination is being made today at Washington.
Right.
If he gets fired, it's pretty easy. They're out. They can go anywhere they want. If he does not get fired, this is where the question comes in. Alex's information was that he had signed a financial aid agreement.
Right.
Danny Jones said a spokesman from Washington told him that Porter had signed a national letter of intent, which binds the kid and the school to each other for a full calendar year unless he is released. Now, the reality of it is, guys, if they want to fight hard enough to get out of it, they'll get out of it, no matter what he signed, if they really want to. But if it's an LOI, then I think it's tougher. It makes it a little more, you know, of a battle, and I don't know if that would be as likely as if it was just a financial aid agreement. But it all comes down to how badly do they want to come back to Columbia. Konzo Martin, I've heard, is a hire that would intrigue them. Obviously, Sierra is a sophomore. She has two more years to play. Everybody would be in one place. There are a lot of things. I think it's possible. Certainly. I do not want to say likely, but it is something we will closely monitor over the next couple weeks and really over the next couple hours what happens with Lorenzo Romar.
Yeah, and for folks, just keep in mind we're dealing with time zones here. It's 4:15 here in the central time zone.
There's only 2:15
out there, which when I read the first piece out of Cal, I was like, whoa, wait a minute. This has been – oh, that's right. That's 2 hours beyond us.
Yeah, I mean, I felt bad. I've been communicating with our Cal guy. I've been texting him at, like, what is, like, 5:30 in the morning.
You owe him some coffee.
Yeah, well, that's all right. He texted me when the NIT game ended last night, which was, like, 1 a.m. my time. I absolutely did not hear that.
No, yeah, I'm imagining you probably didn't. I don't think I remember hearing the end of that one either, although I was tuned into it. All right, Gabe Yarman from PowerMizzou.com with us here. We'll get to the coach, wrap the things up with the coach piece here in just a little bit, but for folks who are kind of confused about financial and letters of intent and when you can and cannot be released and the commitment, all that, just if you can, explain that real quickly, how that would relate to somebody whose coach gets fired.
Okay, well, basically, if a coach gets fired, and this happened, or leaves, it doesn't have to get fired. Obviously, okay. It just isn't coaching there anymore. This happened with Jakeena Gant and Naaman Wright. If you've signed an LOI, if your coach gets fired, and there are other reasons you can do it, but the most common one is the coach is leaving, you can request to be released from your letter of intent. There are schools that will at times say, well, we want you to wait and see who we hire. They'll pitch a little bit of a fit, but they always let you out because it is such bad PR not to let you out. And people need to understand, an LOI is different than a transfer. If a kid requests a transfer, you can say, yes, we will release you to transfer, but you can't transfer here, 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 or here. You are either released from a letter of intent or you are not. So in other words, dealing with Michael Porter here, if he were to say, I want out of my letter of intent, if that's indeed what we signed, and look, I'll believe the Washington person. So I'll believe that's what he signed. But if he requests out, Washington cannot say, yes, we'll let you out, but you can't go to Missouri or you can't go to Kansas or wherever. Mm-hmm. It's either we'll let you out or we won't let you out. And again, nobody refuses to let a kid out in the end. I don't know if Porter would ask out of an LOI. I'm not sure. So, you know, again, it becomes easier if Romar is no longer the coach there. I don't know if he'd ask out of an LOI if Lorenzo's still there. If Lorenzo's not there, look, that's the I think we all agree that's the only reason Michael Porter went to school there, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the only reason Michael Porter Sr. was hired there.
Yeah, it certainly seems like it. And as fast as these things move, while we've been on the phone with you, warning sources, but Paul Feinbaum with the blue check mark comes out and says via a source, Konzo Martin has turned down $18 million contract from Illinois. I mean, if that's the case and Sterk actually won this battle between these two programs, I mean, I think that only goes to show, you know, another step in the right direction, right?
Way to start that sentence off with Konzo Martin has turned down. Because I thought, oh my God, the damage control everybody's going to have to do now.
I'm sorry, right? Gabe, I did not mean to give you a heart attack. I apologize.
Yeah, my first thought was, okay. Oh my God, I'm getting off the phone. I got to go. All
right, so that was the buzzing of your defibrillator, right? No, not your phone.
No, that was my phone blowing up for the 8,000th time today. I mean, I have not been off of it all day, so. That's interesting. Look, I when I found out that they went to Oakland on Sunday, I thought, well, this is pretty simple. John Gross got fired on Saturday, and they thought we better jump out in front of this one, you know, and that's what they did. So good for them.
Mm-hmm. Gabe Yarmer from PowerMizzou.com with us here on the closers. All right, we'll kind of wrap up the coaching thing and let folks in kind of at the back door now of this coaching search for PowerMizzou.com. But the initial signs, a lot of people reporting Konzo Martin coming to the University of Missouri as their next head coach, 7-year deal. The initial read, if this is indeed true for Gabe DeArmond, what do you have on that? What's the initial read for you?
Just on the hire?
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, solid. Chance to be much better than that. Konzo's got 6 years in a major conference that show me, you know, he's kind of a bubble type coach. The upside, the hope, is that he has great in-state recruiting ties. He can really recruit the state. He can get a lot of talent here. He can stay here for more than 3 years, and he can be better here than he's been anywhere else.
All right, Gabe. Go ahead.
No, the downside is, okay, he track record tells me he's a 22-10 coach. In 5 years, if you're still 22-10 every year, is that good enough?
Especially for the money.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
All right. Now, folks, you probably missed an awful lot if you're not PowerMizzou.com, but how do folks get there?
There you go, PowerMizzou.com, Missouri.Rivals.com. We are updating furiously. It's going to take you a long time to catch up, so you should probably get started.
Okay, well, and it's worth
it. It's going to take me a long time to get caught up.
Okay, well, and toward that, we need to let you go. But, Gabe, I appreciate you jumping on here. I know it's been incredibly hectic, but solid work by you guys over there at PowerMizzou.com, so thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Have a good one, guys.
You as well. Gabe Yarmer from PowerMizzou.com. Again, it's PowerMizzou.com is where you need to go. Also, you can follow Gabe and the crew. But Gabe is at Gabe DeArmond. We'll be right back. More of the closers.
The closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
There we are.
There you are.
I am here now.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello.
Is this thing on now?
It is.
Okay, good. Welcome back. I'm George Young, Jay Sparks alongside. Thanks to Gabe Yarmer for jumping things off here with us to start the show. Again, reports, multiple, whether it's, I don't care which venue, it's CBS or PowerMizzou.com or Rock M or SI or Yahoo, Pat 40 out there, everybody reporting that the next coach for the University of Missouri is Konzo Martin out of Cal. Prior to that, a stint at Tennessee. Prior to that, a stint at Missouri State. Oh, look, 3 years at each place.
If you throw out, this is via TJ Moe. Thank you for doing the math for me via Twitter. If you throw out the first year at each program, His win percentage for his other 6 years, two years at each place, .660.
Okay. Well, in those first years at each place, Missouri State, 31 games, he went 11-20. That was his only losing season, by the way. First year at Tennessee, he went 19-15. And his first year at Cal, he went 18-15.
Can you imagine 19-15, like what that feels like? I don't even remember.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
442-8255 is the phone number here on the Closers. Looks like the coaching carousel has come to a stop. Is Martin the right fit? And I want to approach this from two different aspects. Is it the right fit for the alumni base as a whole? And is this the right fit for the alumni base that wanted Kim Anderson but failed to support him with their rear ends in their cushy seats?
This hire answers a lot of questions. We'll get to that in a minute.
442-8255. Good afternoon. You're on the Closers. Hello.
I was just wondering, why does Missouri keep settling for these mediocre coaches?
Oh, bring in the fire.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
All right.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Well, at least we're not taking out another school's trash.
Truth. Truth. We're not taking out the mediocre trash from another school.
Yeah, from another institution. That we'd have been lucky to take out, by the way.
Apparently.
Yeah.
The question, I see where the question is going, and you know, it's... It's a market economy, and I know that's a silly way to go about it. There is no salary cap. There's not a finite number of coaches. There's all kinds of options. There's assistants, and there's guys that are out and out of the, you know, not coaching, everything else. And you have to find the right, like you were talking about before the call, the right fit.
Mm-hmm.
And while this, I'm not sure about the fit yet. You know, this might not be perfectly tailored couture fashion right now, fit wise.
But this
answers so many questions. Will Mizzou pay for a coach?
Check.
You betcha.
I mean, check figuratively, not literally, but
both.
Yes,
both.
Yeah.
Will Mizzou outbid a competing university for a coach?
Check.
If the source from Feinbaumers is correct, then yes, we won't back down. We won't say, "Oh, you've got 25? We got 25."
So, I mean, who do you want?
Yeah,
because reports are out of, and it was a Feinbaum tweet that TJ Moe had it as well. But 18 million. Now, I don't think the years were released.
No, there were no years yet.
No years.
So, but if that was in the you know, the 3.5 for 5 or 6 for 3 range, and he said, well, I'll go 21. I'll go 7, I'll go 21. He's not going to be outbid. He's not going to let an AD standing at another state university across the river outgun you for a guy, especially if he's the number one guy on your list.
And for all intents and purposes, he actually was for a long time the number two or the number three guy on that list.
We don't know about Sterk's list.
Right.
From an outside perspective looking in, it had to be Greg Marshall, according to the outside look.
Right. He's the one that you know he's going to say no, but you still have to pick up the phone and waste the 30 seconds.
You dig a quarter out of your console, you scratch the lottery ticket, you don't win, and you move on.
Right.
So, okay. Then the Crean situation. It sounds like there's a possibility that the Crean thing was a smokescreen. The Crean thing was merely to buy time. You enter into a kind of verbal
look over here.
You know the scene in Rounders when they're in Atlantic City and they sit down at the table and they say, if you can't spot the sucker in your first 5 minutes at the table, guess what?
You're the sucker.
Yeah, so the wink and nod between everybody else at the table, Tom Crean and Jim Sterk did the wink and nod.
Or his people. I mean, it doesn't really matter.
Sure.
Okay, but how much of that, though, because, I mean, in Gabe's rundown this morning, he talked about that visit. He talked about it a little bit here just a bit ago. By the way, all this will be up on the podcast later on today if you've missed any of it. But how much of this became a personality thing with Crean? Because he's in some respects like trying to snuggle up to a cactus. He's kind of, he can be really, really prickly. He can be really abrasive. And if you're the guy that's coming after him and saying, we would really like you to, ow, ow, oh, that, ow, geez. And we'd like you to, ow, oh, man, again. And you back away.
Yeah, I mean, well, these guys all know each other.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, much like you talk about the high school kids, the recruits playing the AAU circuit, they know each other.
They all know each other, yeah.
They might not be best buds. They don't all text and tweet all the time, but they know each other in passing. They know about each other. They know the reputation and how guys are, quote-unquote, air quote, finger quotes.
Right, yeah.
Jim Stirk knew he didn't want Tom Crean. I mean, I think if the way you're looking at the optics of this, the way it's panning out, the way the numbers are working out, the way mm-hmm. the situation is working out, I mean, I asked Danny Jones, right? 24 hours after an NIT loss.
Who's the guy?
Are we going to have news? And if it's not Crean or Kwanza within 24 hours, then what? Well, guess what happened? Within 24.
It wasn't even 24 hours.
Right. But within 24 yeah. hours, we had our news mm-hmm. after a Cal loss. So I think it's pretty obvious that Stirk was running the old wink and nod play with Crean.
Right. Well, and part of what happened on this as well was the resignation was announced earlier today. And, you know, Cal's going to have an interim coach. But part of this was Kwanza Martin informed me this morning that he is resigning to accept a position at another school. We put forth our best effort to retain him, but he told me it wasn't about Cal, rather a strong desire to move closer to home, Williams said. Williams, the athletic director. We appreciate all that Kwanza has done with our men's basketball program over the past 3 years, creating excitement inside Haas Pavilion, where you can get free avocados, I guess. I don't know. But the fact that he had that desire to, one, move closer to home, that gives you Missouri, Illinois.
Yep.
And secondly, to turn down the $18 million offer, allegedly offered by the University of Illinois, what does that tell you about potential?
Right.
Or, if it's not about potential, it's about wrapping your arms around the guy and saying, no, we really want you here.
And for a guy who's felt persecuted to the point of kind of scrabbling around and looking for other jobs while he's currently employed, I feel like that's an important factor in this. If you have an AD who comes to you and says, I haven't interviewed anyone else,
mm-hmm.
you and me, we're going to sit down at this table or across this Skype call or whatever. We're going to look each other in the eye. You're my first choice. And I'll outbid the guy across the river.
Now, to our caller's point, mediocre coach.
Okay.
Somewhat of a gypsy.
Okay.
Guy that really, you know, he says he'll shake your hand and look you in the eye, and he'll say, I want to put down roots here in this community. I want to be here for a long time, and I want to make this school a winner, and I want to put our name on the map, mm-hmm. plant the flag.
Yeah.
3 years at Missouri State, 3 years at Tennessee, 3 years at Cal.
Mm-hmm.
3 years at Missouri.
Not without a pretty sizable buyout from somebody.
Well, but the reputation is there. Hop on my wagon, grab my tambourine, and move on to the next location.
Sure.
As soon as the going gets rough, does he bolt out of town?
The man's a cancer survivor. His dream of playing pro basketball in mm-hmm. Italy got derailed by cancer, just like Eric Berry. And he came back to be a successful Power 5 head coach. I don't think it's about the going getting tough.
Okay. 442-8255. Good afternoon. You're on the Closers.
So what if we do see some success? What if, for whatever reason, we end up with some local boys deciding to stay because something happened up in the Northwest that would free them of their current obligations. And we win a few years, maybe a Final Four. I mean, those the kind of plays that he could bring, if that's in play, can change a program. I mean, they are that good. So, you know, if he stays 5 years, we end up in a Final Four, maybe doing something a little more crazy than that, I'm happy with it. Also, it's Kwanza, not Kwanza.
Yeah.
Kwanza.
Konzo. Yes.
Yes. We're efforting. We're practicing that one. But thank you for the reminder.
No, to the college point, I think that's right. It's, you know, it's much like I think some of us have said about Barry Odom. If Barry Odom leaves in 3 years from Mizzou, either A, he got fired, mm-hmm. and we can tell exactly what happened, or B, a pretty solid football program took notice of a pretty solid run by Mizzou and hires him away. Which, if you missed the part in the middle there, that's a pretty solid run by Mizzou.
Mm-hmm.
To get noticed by a program bigger than Mizzou, who would then come and hire you away. And I think it's the same thing here. I think if we're worried about Konzo leaving from here, I'm working on it.
So am I.
If he's leaving from here, it's only one of two ways. He's either going from here to like a blue blood type program, or he's going to Texas Southern like Mike Davis. He's out. Like he's done.
Gone. Finished. Yeah. Fini.
Right.
Now, the upside to this though too is apparently he is arriving without any baggage. That's important as you mm-hmm. go forward, because Missouri has some additional carry-ons that they really would rather not have, and that is the presence of the NCAA on campus an awful lot over the last couple of decades, which seems like a long time, but in the NCAA Glacial World Book, that's a short time.
Mm-hmm.
And they will be on campus again for this tutor thing. So the advantage is twofold here. One, you have a coach in Martin that has ties to St. Louis, which everybody has said, why can we not recruit and keep people from St. Louis? Okay.
Yeah.
Here's a crack at it.
Yep.
Why can we not recruit or keep a coach that has got NCAA Division I solid run experience? Well, you had Mike Anderson. But you knew he was going to be going to Arkansas as soon as that job came open.
Right.
And the political climate down there stabilized.
Right.
You had Frank Haith. Solid run. But ran out of transfers and the university ran out of patience.
Well, yeah.
Well, they did. They ran out of patience.
He never had a down year.
No, he didn't. But they ran out of patience with transfer after transfer after transfer, and the feedback on that, and the guys that he was bringing in, and a lot of flash, and he, you know, he was a London fog jacket full of watches.
Sure, I mean, 4-star guys, NBA recruits. Right. You're right. No, totally. Should definitely run that guy off.
Well, but that's something they ran out of patience. And
sure.
Now, whether or not they could have said, okay, we'll take a down year. We'll take a 15-win year.
To get things squared away.
To get things squared away, get your recruiting back to where it needs to be, and go forward from there.
Right.
They didn't want to do that.
Well, and he tried to play the Jimmy Sexton game.
Well, so. Yeah, and that's a failure.
But here's a picture. I know we're up against a break.
Yes, we are.
Quick picture to paint for our listeners, but as we leave for break.
Okay.
Pie in the sky, and I'm not even going to future
pie
success.
Pie yesterday.
I know. I'm just carrying over. Okay. I'm so full of pie. We're just oozing with pie. So,
ooh.
So pie in the sky picture. Next year, recruiting, football recruiting, the Mizzou 10,
mm-hmm.
plus the number one recruit in the country on basketball.
You're just giddy with excitement, aren't you?
Jim Sterk better have a sweet pair of 80s sunglasses so that he can just put them on and walk
the
away.
Aviators.
Just drop the mic, put them on, uh-huh. and walk away. If he lands 7-8 of the Mizzou 10 and Michael Porter.
Well, in all fairness, the coaches have to do that, but okay.
Who's in charge of putting the coaches in place?
The athletic director.
Okay. Is it his choice to make this hire? Is he the right guy to make this hire?
Well, I do remember that conversation right. from somewhere earlier on from some knothead.
But just put that out there. Think about the attitude shift.
Mm-hmm.
All the Clay Travis talk. Everybody wants to talk about something that happened 2-3 years ago.
And blame everything that's happening now
on
that.
And yeah. pin everything on it.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the attitude shift. Think about the whitewash, the wall the tabula rasa that Sterk inherited and has grabbed the reins of, he now has, if it happens, if it all comes together, if he gets a majority decision out of the Mizzou 10, and Michael Porter Jr.
Michael Jordan, whoa.
No, Michael Porter Jr., okay. All in Mizzou uniforms all next year. It's kind of electric stuff, man.
Giddy with excitement. It's like one too many espressos.
It's the Closers. Be part of the show now. 800-229-5378. News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Hey, welcome back to the Closers here. I'm George Young alongside Jay Sparks. Busy news day, and we'll get back to Missouri Tiger basketball here momentarily, but let's step across the way to Columbia College. It's our Cougar Coach's Corner, and the head baseball coach, Darren Munns, joining us right now. And you're 10-0 in AMC play. More important that you're 10-0 or that you're finally thawing out after yesterday's game with Park?
You got that right, George. Thank you for the kind words. And yes, I am just starting to thaw out.
It's an interesting contest. I mean, I can remember playing baseball. I told you before as we got started, I played for Blackburn, and I can remember a game against Principia where the weather was just like that. You had snow flurries. It was just brutally cold. From a coach's standpoint, two things. How do you keep everybody focused, and how do you keep everybody healthy?
I think it says a lot about your group. Nobody likes to play in that weather. Our conference, we had a window to play Monday through Wednesday, or we didn't get to play the games, and Park and I both agreed that, you know, we need to play the games, and we don't want to be at the end of the year and, you know, wondering what would have happened. So we sucked it up and played one game instead of a doubleheader that was scheduled, and got through it. And it is challenging, believe me, because it's baseball is meant to be played in summertime and 80 degree weather, but it came out okay.
Yeah, the boys of summer almost had frostbite yesterday. You guys, I mentioned you guys are 10-0 in AMC play. As you were putting this together last year, you know, obviously almost Salesman of the Year award for getting not only the program going, but also getting all the recruits. As you're sitting there mapping this out, did you think, yeah, 10-0 start? Yeah, we can do that.
I don't think you ever think that in our league, okay. Because it's very challenging. My goal is always to be competitive in one of the best baseball conferences in the country. And, you know, it's great to be where we're at right now. We're a third of the way through our conference season. And, you know, we're obviously competitive, so I'm pleased with that part of it.
The facility, I know there was a lot of work that went in, collaborative work between Columbia College and the City of Columbia Parks and Rec out at Adkins Field. What's the verdict for you?
I'm really pleased. Both our people and the City of Columbia, as you mentioned, have done a great job. I've gotten numerous compliments from people that have attended the games as well as our opponents. It's a top-notch college baseball field, and we're really proud of it.
Coach, with the outdoor facilities kind of came into place real nice and quick there at the end. You know, as you guys get ready during your off season, it's winter time a lot of the time. How are your indoor facilities? How are you able to get your guys through the winter and keep them in shape and get them to do what they need to do?
Same type deal. We developed a partnership with Fundamentals, which is an indoor facility here in Columbia. They have been great to work with. That's where we train both in our off season, as you mentioned, over the winter months, and when weather gets us and we have to go inside when we're in season.
Coach Darren Munns, Columbia College Baseball, with us here on the Closers. And we talked about this the last couple of times, but for folks who are just joining us, this is one of those things that it took you a year to build everything before that first game was even played. And as I go down this roster, it is built with a lot of people from right in this area. How much was that because of the talent, and how much of that was also a factor of, I need people to know who my players are before I have to sell the program to them?
Yeah, that's a great point, George. I think it's always a bonus if you have players that are from the area or close to the area, because obviously the support is great. You know, you have better crowds and all that, but the first priority is always you know, good people, good citizens, good players, and it doesn't matter where they're from. We are just very fortunate that we were in a very rich baseball area in mid-Missouri and the surrounding areas, both the high school level and the junior college level. We have a baseball breeding ground, if you will, right here in our own backyard.
Mm-hmm. Kenny Piper gets the game-winning RBI yesterday. Freshman out of Florissant, Missouri, Hazelwood Central. Junior out of Lee's Summit, Longview Community College. He's your catcher, Andrew Warner. Two-time now AMC Player of the Week. Congratulations on to him through you. What does he bring to the table? Because he's not quite the elder statesman of the group, but he's pretty dang close.
Yeah, Andrew's a special player. I mean, we worked really hard recruiting him, and he's been as advertised as a player, and he's even a better person and leader. I couldn't be happier. You know, when one of your best players is also a leader and one of your hardest workers, it makes it very easy to function as a unit. And his best days are ahead of him. He is really a talented player.
As you continue to recruit, I can't imagine what's the second year of recruiting for a program look like versus, or I guess I should say the first full year of recruiting versus the minus 1 year of recruiting leading up to starting a program.
I think what'll help is if you start building some tradition and you have a body of work to talk to recruits about. I think probably the most challenging thing, Jay, the first year was you're recruiting to a great school and a great college town, but you haven't had a team in 35 years, and you really don't have that body of work to say, hey, look, here's some of our players. We had some recruits visit our home opener, and they were able to physically see the quality of people and players that we have in our program, and I think your players and the people in your program, that is literally the best sell.
Okay, and that's the best sell for you, and you mentioned 35-year hiatus, so you kind of skipped an entire generation of kids and becoming parents following Columbia College Baseball. What's the toughest sell for you with this program?
I think just the newness, because kids want to know how many games you won last year. And, they want to know, hey, how's
your
program?
You said, hey, we were undefeated?
I did. I used that a lot. I think you may have given that to me. I'm not sure. So I give credit to you. I think you were one of the first ones at one of our first functions at Columbia College. You mentioned that, and I kind of ran with it. So, and it's true. You can't argue with it. But that's probably the kids want to know, how have you been the last 10 years? How competitive have you been the last 5 years? How many games did you win? What do the uniforms look like? And that's, obviously all that stuff's important to kids nowadays. And now that we have those things in place, that part of it is more tangible than it was last year when I was recruiting.
Have you had to work with Bob on how many different uniform combinations are possible?
I'm pretty traditional. Okay. So I like, traditional baseball uniforms. So we don't go like two Oregon Duck on you.
Thursday night electric move.
No, we're going to stay away from that.
Okay. Not yet, I think, is the operative answer.
There you go.
Need something you want to share?
No.
Okay. All right. Back to Andrew Warner real quick here. I see him. I've got two pictures of him here, one with the beard and one with that mustache. I like him with the beard. What say you, Coach, about the facial hair thing? Because that mustache doesn't look like his.
Well, he's he's honoring Mustache March, and that's something we do in our program. I think I'm the only one in the program that cannot grow a good mustache. So, he's not only a good player, but good with the facial hair as well.
Who's stepped up? Because you when you get this group together, the two biggest things I've always seen is when I was playing ball too is how's everybody mix and where does my leadership come from? So the two part question: how's everybody mixing, and where has your leadership come from?
The culture has been a work in progress. Okay. Your normal recruiting class is 10, 12 guys, and we brought in 40 guys year one. Yeah. So there is some building to be done, and like I said, it's a work in progress, but we're very blessed. The upperclassmen we have have been awesome. They've really bought in, and they've led the program as players, and I could not be more happy with the leadership we have, especially having 25 freshmen on the roster. Those upperclassmen are really, really important.
Head coach Darren Munns, Columbia College Baseball, with us. Their current record, 16-7 overall, 10-0 through AMC play. And I step outside of the AMC to play Morthland College this weekend, Friday, Saturday, doubleheader Friday, and then a single game on Saturday. Do you like that mix of in and then back out and then back into conference play?
Well, we have our conference. We have 11 members, so every school has a bye weekend, and this happens to be our bye weekend. So I was able to have Morthland come in this weekend. I don't know a lot about them. They're a relatively new program. I know they have aspirations of joining our conference. I think we're one of eight teams in our conference that are playing them this season. So it's a good opportunity to kind of keep things consistent with a three-game series on the weekend, and we're lucky to have them at home this weekend.
23 games in, what's been the best moment so far for Coach Darren Munns?
I would say Piper's game-winning hit yesterday. What have you done for me lately, right?
What have you done for me lately, yep. Yeah. Okay. All right, so he goes 0 for 5. Is he still kind of the hero?
Probably not.
I'm the new guy. All righty. All right. What's been that one moment as a coach you're like, wow, we got to really work on that?
I think we had a little bit of a come-to-Jesus moment at College of the Ozarks. We were rolling pretty well, and I think as athletes, we're sometimes the victims of our own success. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I thought we kind of rolled into that game and weren't as focused as we had been. And we had a couple days when we got back, to have a couple good practices and get back on track. And I think it was a good learning lesson for our ball club. And unfortunately, it was a loss to wake us up. And sometimes you need that. You just don't need too much of it. But we've kind of rebounded since then. I think guys are aware that you know, you can't go through the motions at all over the course of a college baseball season.
So you've changed the defense. You won't give up that game-winning field goal again?
No, I hope not. Their kicker was better than our kicker that day.
It certainly was. Darren Munns, head coach for Columbia College Baseball. Get on out there. Again, the facility, it's Atkins Field out by the old Boone County Fairgrounds. And easiest way for people to get in there would be what?
You just run. It is, the address is, you know, you can Google map it, 5220 North Oakland Gravel Road. I've recited that a lot, but it's just basically 63 North. It's the exit past the Bass Pro, and there's signs that will lead you right to our place.
All right, excellent. It's a great venue out there. A lot of work has been done, and you get a chance to try that out for size this weekend, beginning Friday night, the 17th, Morthland College, and a doubleheader on Saturday to wrap things up, and then it's back out on the road for Culver Stockton. Coach, thank you for the time, man. I really do appreciate it. Congratulations on the great start, and keep finding new heroes.
Thank you guys very much.
You are very welcome. That is head coach Darren Munns. We'll be right back. More of the Closers right after this.
The Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Hey, man, check this out. It's got the biggest...
And now, sports and other stuff. The Closers. Join the talk now. 800-229-5378. News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Isolated, crossing over, lost it, picked it back up. 16-footer is good. Robinson puts Mount St. Mary's back on top. Mount St. Mary's has stolen it, literally. The Mount back in the NCAA tournament for the first time in 3 years. DJ Johnson got three for a layup. Uncontested for Johnson. 88-79 K-State. Kansas State has won in the NCAA tournament for the first time in 5 years.
They'll fire it up. Three ball. Left corner pocket for Steph Curry. And the Warriors lead by two. 101-99. 29 points on his 29th birthday. Deflected to Curry. He's got it. Game over. Ball game's over. It was not pretty.
And I knew it wasn't going to be pretty. We knew that. We just had to grit it out.
Pavelski scores on the rebound.
Maroon back to McDavid. He scores.
Connor McDavid, lucky number 7 for the Oilers tonight.
Welcome in. Hour number 2 of a very sedate Wednesday. Not a whole lot going on. NCAA, you know, the first four, NIT, a couple of teams are out. Actually, a lot of teams are out. You know, coaching carousel rolling along. But wait, what's this?
What light through yonder what? Window breaks? It is the East, and Konzo is the sun.
The yeast?
No.
Oh, East. I'm having a beer flashback there.
Uh-huh.
Welcome in. I'm George Young, Jay Sparks, alongside, and we originally corralled him because we do this every year when the NCAA tournament opens up, and that is Bill Connolly from Rock M Nation, live and in person. We did this the first time around because my previous co-host, Spencer, I thought there for a while that, you know, Bill was his imaginary friend, because I never really got a chance to see Bill Now, I've seen him several times. Great guy. You should get to know him.
Well, have you ever seen Sleepy Floyd and Spencer in the same room?
Ooh.
I don't think you have.
That is very true.
That is true. Well, anyway, so welcome aboard there, Bill.
Howdy.
How you doing?
Has anything happened over these last couple hours? Because I've been really studying the bracket, so I have a lot of interesting bracket things to say. if there's anything else, I've been in a complete bubble. I don't know.
Well, there's been a lot of Martins flying around. Not Pepper Martin, not Frank Martin, not Felipe Martin, not Steve Martin.
Steve Martin, yeah.
Yeah, but... you ready? Konzo Martin. Konzo Martin coming to town. Not Kwan, like Kwanzaa, but Konzo.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's official. The University of Missouri announced it right about the top of the hour that, hey, the ink is dry. It has been blotted. The fountain pen has been put away. And name to paper as a start. The reaction to the hire is what from you, somebody who's followed Missouri basketball for a long time and all these coaching searches? What's the reaction?
Well, I think it was a really – my line for the last couple of days has been that it's a really good time to be hiring a basketball coach and that there are a lot of really interesting candidates and not just a ton of schools that you would consider of higher stature than Missouri making hires. So they'd be, you know, pretty much to the front of the line. We've heard for a couple of days now that Martin was Jim Stirk's number one candidate, even as other rumors were flying around about other coaches. And so, you know, if you give him the benefit of the doubt, he was able to go out and get the guy he really wanted. He got him. Great. We'll see if it ends up, you know, being a smart intuition or whatever. But it was certainly the guy he wanted. And, you know, I think the only reason, you know, initially a lot of people seemed underwhelmed by the thought of Konzo Martin. I think that was partially just because of the other names being thrown around and the career wins associated with those other names being thrown around. In a bubble, you've got a guy with 9 years of head coaching experience who took on three programs, and after a first year reset at basically every place, they've improved each time. The second year win total is quite a bit higher than the first year win total. Third year total is higher than the second year. So we don't know anything about long term, but in the short term, I think he'll pretty quickly get Missouri back to where Missouri fans really need for it to be, and then we'll see what he can do after that.
You mean good basketball would bring fans in, and they would actually sit their rear ends in the seats that they want?
Believe it or not, I've heard that does happen sometimes.
Okay.
It's just a pure intuition there, though. We don't know for sure.
Interesting concept.
In Hoosiers, they just got to play in progressively bigger stadiums.
That's true. That would actually be a heck of an idea.
So we're going to have tape measure night? Is that what we're going to have? Everybody gets a free tape measure? You go downstairs,
right.
Go down and measure the basket?
Measure the free throw line?
Yeah.
You betcha.
Okay. All right. I guess. I mean, I know they dispensed from that. They had that as a promo intro, and they dispensed from that one because that wasn't a spectacular year. Anyway. The reaction, though, of people looking at it and going, well, let's see, 3 years here and 3 years here and 3 years. Dude's a gypsy. He's never going to stick around.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think we take two or three little data points and we create a giant impression off of them because, I mean, that's what we do. We have, you know, especially in these coaching searches where you've got a ton of guys you're trying to get to know all of a sudden, you're taking shortcuts. And the shortcut on Martin is that this is his, he's been at three places 3 years each and then he goes. But when you look at each one, I mean, the Missouri State, of course, he was going to leave Missouri State for Tennessee. That one, I don't think anybody's going to judge him for that one. And so it really comes down to the reasons why he left Tennessee. And if you were on Twitter today by any chance, looking at the at the Konzo hashtag, for instance, Tennessee fans are still mad about Konzo Martin and that he left them. Whatever was going on there, that was a really weird, semi-bitter relationship. And he seemed to take the first job offer he got to get away from that. You can judge him for that if you want, but that wasn't just a pure, I'm going to job hop around, I'm going to find a better deal, because it might not have been a better deal at all, but he felt he needed to leave and he left.
Well, and I know Jay brought this up earlier in the first hour when we were talking back and forth about it, but there was that petition, and I'd forgotten about this, but the petition to bring back Bruce Pearl despite the show cause. They wanted Martin out of town so bad, they were willing to subject themselves to the show cause penalties from the NCAA in order to bring back the guy who wears orange body paint.
Well, yeah, that was a pure grasping at, you know, success. We love Bruce Pearl. He was great. Everything was fine when he was here. We want him back, and this guy isn't Bruce Pearl. This guy hasn't immediately won 29 games and taken us to an Elite Eight. He was there 3 years. The impression here is that he was a terrible coach. The last year, they were like 10th in the Pomeroy rankings. They were a very good team, but we know a little bit.
You can get as high as 10th?
I think, in Pomeroy.
Because... we're used to, 180s.
I mean, 10 is part. There is a 1 and a 0.
Wow. Okay. Cool.
But, yeah, I mean, he had Tennessee really – they lost some close games. I don't think that team did quite as well as maybe they expected to or whatever, but that was a very, very good team. And he had to deal with a very awkward situation of the previous fan base all still loving the guy who left before him.
That's a tough nut to crack. Okay. His ability as a recruiter – because that's the knock. We can't keep the Kansas City talent, can't keep the St. Louis talent. Heck, we can't keep any talent.
Yeah.
What say you on on the Martin?
The whole idea of sealing the borders, I think, I mean, I always just wonder, have you been to St. Louis? Have you been to Kansas City? Have you seen the flags flying from 38 different schools that are all within about 2, 3, 4 hours of those cities? Yes, they are within Missouri's borders, but it's always been a reach to think that Missouri can just, land all of them, land all the people they want. And basketball, I think, is extra tricky because those top names especially are more nationally recruited. Mm-hmm. I think it's really, really hard to quote-unquote seal the borders or come anywhere close to that. That said, if anybody's going to do it whoever might come closest to it, it might be Martin. The connections he notoriously has, we'll see. And he has a very interesting chance right out of the gates to do some damage. And you can see how it could avalanche real quick here.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, during the coaching search, the discussion was always Crean, Konzo, Keats, maybe, all these things. And Romar was always an immediate bad, negative point of the discussion, even though he brought the idea of Michael Porter back to Mizzou.
Right.
So if you take one of your top two candidates, get him in a bidding war over a rival university who seems to be has a little more polish on their apple at the moment, and get the one recruit that kept a coach's name in the discussion, the number one recruit in the country. If you do all that in like 36 hours,
you're saying that's not a bad,
that's a good,
bad 36
that's a
hours
good
right
day.
There.
That's a good weekend in Vegas. Wait, I mean, weekend.
Stories to tell?
No.
Okay.
First of all, I mean, a day in Vegas can last 36 hours.
True.
But no, I mean, that is kind of the, Romer's name was floated out there for one specific reason. And I mean, everything we've been saying in the anti-Romar chorus, which I don't think is, a small group, was that, he just went 9-21 or whatever with maybe the number one pick in the NBA draft. It wouldn't be worth it. But if you can get a guy who can coach guys up a little bit, again, I mean, Martin's only been to two NCAA tournaments, but if you can get all those recruiting spoils and then, have a better potential performance on deck here, that's not a bad situation.
All righty. Jeff Goodman out of ESPN and others reporting that Washington has parted ways with Lorenzo Romar. Now, do you have the onions to be able, not you personally.
Oh.
But do you have the onions as a university and athletic department and the cachet to get the Porters back? Because now all of a sudden, that entire landscape in Seattle has changed now.
Right. I mean, if Romar is not an employee of the University of Washington, the Porters have no ties to the University of Washington. I mean, I guess Michael Sr. is technically still an employee at the moment.
Well, but we all know what happens.
Right.
Okay.
And so, then you kind of go back to, the fact that the daughters are already here, already playing for Missouri basketball. All the things that we thought were keeping Missouri in the race for Michael Jr. to begin with before he left for Seattle. Mm-hmm. All those things are in place, plus a new coach who kind of walks in with a bunch of excitement here and Romer getting fired when he did. It's kind of a perfect storm here for them to swoop in and get him, and we'll see if it happens.
Okay. There is that fan base for the University of Missouri that is it's a collection of Eeyores. They all know that there you go again. All gonna be. Can anybody find my tail? That group. What's the downside to all of this?
Well, you know, if you take out the recruiting angle for now, and that's what we're obviously going to be kind of swept away in over the next few days to see just how many people he can bring to town and how all that plays out.
Okay, he has two scholarships.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, right? He could create two more if he needs to.
Okay. I think the phrase is, these things have a way of working right. themselves out.
I have okay. learned that many, many times. Yeah.
But
here, let me lift my hat. See, it's tattooed right there.
But, you know, so he's got, recruiting aside, and we just look specifically at Konzo Martin, don't associate any specific recruits to his name. You know, we can basically say that, you know, the downside here is that, A, we don't really know anything about his program building ability because mm-hmm. he leaves after 3 years. And even if that was all circumstantial, it's not a true habit that he's going to continue for the next 20 years of his coaching career, which actually be kind of funny. You know, even we still don't know a lot about how he'll perform long term in a job. But, you know, number one, he did coach for Gene Katie for 7 years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Gene Katie coached for Purdue for like 25 years, and that was his coaching role model. So that suggests, well, other than that he might go to Purdue one day, it does suggest that.
Yeah, I mean, Matt Painter's there. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Done deal.
You know, yeah. you know, we know that he could be here for a while, and we know that what fans usually complained about with him is two things. Number one, slumps. You know, Tennessee started every season a little too slowly and then couldn't quite catch up. And California had this habit of kind of falling asleep in February a little mm-hmm. bit. But, you know, they were still winning 20 or 21 games. That'll be fine for a little while. 4 or 5 years from now, if you're attracting 4- and 5-star talent and you're winning 19, 20, 21 games going to the NIT, the grumbling will have long started. But in the short term here, this seems like a pretty good candidate for getting Missouri back to, you know, the whatever standard we were supposed to be holding for Missouri in the neighborhood of competing for the NCAA tournament and things like that.
Okay, I know it's a couple of years away from making the final judgment on this, but based on what we have seen, the Norm Stewart departure, the messy way that was handled, then you had Quinn, the way that messily ended, Mike Anderson ending messily, Frank Haith ending messily, Kim Anderson. The hire and the ending and all of the in-between, very messy. Is this the signal from Jim Stirk and this current administration that, dang it, we want to get this basketball hire right, and I think we did?
Yeah, I mean, I would wager to say that the end of Kim Anderson's tenure was about as unmessy as you can hope for in that mm-hmm. situation.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe that's a good start right there. He went out and relatively quickly got the guy he apparently wanted. And there's something to be said for that. He paid for him, invested a decent chunk of money in this guy who has only been to two NCAA tournaments. But at this stage in the game, there's no reason to doubt. You know, Jim Stirk hasn't given anybody a reason to doubt his head coaching prowess yet.
Okay.
And so he gets the benefit of the doubt from me, at least.
All right. 9 months to go in the year. It does, with the hire, first guy in and got him, is Jim Stirk the salesman of the year?
That's right. Yes. Yes. I mean, I don't think the competition is all that strong at the moment, but yes.
Okay. I'm scrolling through Twitter here, and as we discuss all of these things, Brandon Roy, With assistance in hand,
mm-hmm. yes.
Does that keep the Porters?
I mean, he'll probably get a chance.
Yeah.
I definitely don't want to make this. This isn't 100%. You know, okay, Porter is signing tomorrow or anything like that. But I would still think that the draw and the ties to this area, including the sisters who play for Mizzou, uh-huh. it would still end up being a stronger tie. But Brandon Roy, I mean, I'd go play for that guy. I love that guy.
Yeah.
How's your eligibility?
as far as I know, I still have 4 years left.
Okay.
So.
Jump shot.
The only thing I can do is shoot three-pointers.
Set shot or jump shot?
Set shot. I didn't specify for a reason.
All right. We'll be back. We're going to talk a little bit more coaching, but at some point we're going to try to delve into the brackets to help you out as your week rolls on because you studied hours and hours, and I really don't want that effort to be wasted.
The Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
And welcome back to The Closers here alongside Jay Sparks. I'm George Young and happy to be joined by Rock M Nation, also SB Family of Nations, and noted author Mr. Bill Conley. Was this one of the more interesting coaching searches you followed? I mean, because it There was one smoke screen, the right hand waving around the name of Tom Crean, and in the left hand was the pen, the contract, and the, what appears to be now the number one choice.
You know, I would say that that's all within the realm of semi-normal for these things. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it was necessarily the weirdest or most interesting or anything like that. I mean, we set the bar pretty high in 2011. Let's put it that way. There was nothing better than, you know, I was going back through the Rock M archives a few days ago. And out of curiosity, I was looking at, you know, who did we profile in 2011? Mm-hmm. The list included Lorenzo Konzo Martin and a Greg Marshall that hadn't ever been to the Final Four. And, you know, all these names that it was kind of funny how much of a difference 6 years can make. But just, you know, what was interesting to me was, like I said, the qualifications of the group that Missouri seemed to be kind of sifting through mm-hmm. at the moment was very impressive. But the fact that we profiled like 16 coaches and then a 17th got the job, that was fun. That always makes it, you know, waking up one morning and going, oh,
gotta fire up Google.
Huh. This doesn't top that. That's for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. This is not a Google moment. People know who he is, and you're not going to have to worry about the whole have faith and all the rest of that part of it. One last question before we get into the NCAA tournament, because that thing will start. We get the second round of the first four tonight, and then it begins in earnest tomorrow. Two of the most non-productive days in the entire work area, but that's okay. I'm all right with that.
Yeah.
Be non-productive for a little while. Jay and I were kind of talking about this the last couple of days as this came to a head, and that is the signal to especially the older donor base, the 65 and older donor base, that, all right, you really weren't all that enamored with Quinn. You didn't really like Mike Anderson. You were with Frank Kath. You wanted your guy.
Yeah.
You got your guy. You didn't support your guy.
Yeah.
30% capacity at the Mizzou Arena. Was this a sign from Jim Stirk, too, that, all right, listen, y'all need to get on board here because this is how we're doing things, and you can either get on board or the train's leaving the station.
Right. I mean, I think he handled this well. And you know, granted, you know, the people in the arena, it wasn't like there were 15,000 of them pushing for Anderson. It was a smaller, more influential group.
There were six of them.
And for all we know, they were all there for a lot of Mizzou games. I don't know if that's actually the case. But regardless, they did get their way, and it bombed. And so now you do kind of have to have a strong leader in place to say, this is what we're doing now, and you need to get behind us because, you know, without as diplomatically as possible saying you got your way and it failed, so now I'm going to get my way. That's basically what happened, though, and we'll see if it see how it pays off. If it works out, awesome. But you know, the moment it looks like this might not be a great hire, if that moment comes, you know, we know how boosters work, and you know the positioning will then begin all over again.
Yeah, well, I'm seeing this will also be a taste of we told you too much spree is bad for you, and you're just going to have to wean yourself off of it. What?
There's no sugar in pixie sticks. It's fine.
Yeah, but you gave me that musty reference look. 442-8255 is the phone number. Good afternoon. You're on the Closers.
Hello? I think they made a mistake. Hello?
Yeah. And a mistake how?
Oh, I don't think the athletic director handled it good. He's not a Missouri guy. He doesn't know what the hell he's doing. I think Alden... I don't know. The whole thing with Pinkel, the whole system is bad right now. We're winning a lot of things, but I don't know. You can't – the players are not there. And Hayes left us in a bad way. And you can't blame Kim Anderson. I think the players are worthless almost. I went to a lot of the games because I got some free tickets.
Uh-huh.
I'm working. I'm busy. I'm tired. But
okay,
it wasn't exciting at all. The games were not exciting at all, except for those two wins they did at home in a row there I went to. I think that was a good luck charm. But I just don't like the athletics. Have you ever seen him out in public or anywhere? I haven't seen him at all, hardly. What's he doing?
He's been busy hiring a basketball coach, but okay, let's give you the first year as a transition from Haith to from Anderson's out of the Haith thing, okay? Year two and three. Who's responsible for getting the talent? Hello?
I'm listening to
okay.
you.
Who is responsible?
No. Because of Haith.
But who's responsible for getting your talent?
It's not there.
I know.
But it takes time to build that. You don't just... change a coach and get it immediately. It takes time, and you change an administration like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think the whole thing is messed up at Mizzou myself, and I'm a graduate.
Yeah, Missouri
athletic department's messed up.
Konzo Martin's first year at Missouri State, he went 11-20. Year two, 24-12. His first year at Tennessee, 19-15. Year two, 20-13. Cal, first year, 18-15. Second year, NCAA tournament, 23-11.
I think the thing about Kim Anderson, where he kind of lost, where he lost his way, so to speak, is just that. There's no question, you know, the APR issues, the APR math, the scholarship math that created was tricky. And, you know, recruiting was, I think, in a lot of ways, the recruiting in terms of pure star rankings and whatnot was maybe a little better than some of us feared it would be. The problem with Kim Anderson in the end was that guys didn't get better under his watch. Never mind the scholarships, never mind how many guys he had on scholarship or anything like that. You can really, the players on the court just weren't getting all that much better. And that's how you take a situation like this, turn it into a long-term success story when you have third or fourth year guys who have developed and become stronger players, and they just hadn't really.
And for whatever your feelings about Haith and the exit to Tulsa and everything else, Naaman Wright is a four-star recruit. Jonathan Williams III is all conference on the number one team one of the number one team in the nation over the course of the season.
He left.
Jordan Clarkson is starring for one of the largest, the biggest franchises in the NBA right now.
Jakina Gant was 4-star.
Yeah, Jakina Gant was a 4-star. The cupboard wasn't empty.
Right.
You know what happened? You came in and you cleaned the pantry out. There was stuff in the pantry, and the pantry got cleaned out. And I don't know what you want to say. I don't know who it's fair to, or unfair or fair. But the pantry, there was stuff in the pantry. You get to your Airbnb and there's food in the kitchen, and you sit at the kitchen table and you order Domino's and you complain that you had to pay for Domino's. Guess what? There was food in the pantry. I'm sorry that you chose not to use it. I'm sorry that you threw out the food in the pantry.
I think that it's a situation that, you know, even if it was harder than it would have been, you know, if Anderson had been hired when Haith came in or Mike Anderson or whoever, the things under his control didn't go well enough. Even if there were a lot of things out of his control, he just didn't do well enough at the things he did.
Right. Well, and listen, the one thing you can say about this group of guys this year, they didn't quit.
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
They didn't quit.
Right. And they were a better defensive team.
Yes. But they were shooters. They just weren't makers. They were the worst three-point shooting team in the SEC. They were the worst field goal shooting percentage team in the SEC. They didn't get to the free throw line enough. They wanted to play inside-outside, which is great if you have a guy who can, or a team that can hit from inside or outside. They could do neither. They were 50% or worse from 5 feet and in.
Now, I think he got a lot of cushion for fixing things that were tricky, and he just didn't do enough with the rest that he had.
Well, and listen, everybody acknowledges that he was put into kind of an untenable situation in year one and halfway through year number two, but you have to start showing progress, not regression, as your tenure runs. And unfortunately for Kim, and listen, I like Kim as a person, but you have to separate the person from the business. And the business was a 15,000-seat arena with 30% capacity.
And we're talking about two scholarships.
Yeah.
It wasn't a massive, massive loss.
442-8255. Good afternoon. You're on the Closers.
So if the new coach, whoever he may be, comes in, is he going to look like a miracle worker because Kim's done all the hard work then?
Well, the new coach is Konzo Martin, formerly of Cal, formerly of Missouri State. And it is official now that he is the next head coach for the University of Missouri. I think to answer your question, is he going to be a miracle worker?
Is it going to feel good to win 19 games?
Right.
Then he's a miracle worker.
In one year, by
right,
the way.
Right, not spread out over two or three. No, but I mean, if it's going to feel good to win 15-plus games in a year, or 18 or 19, then yeah, he's a miracle worker.
I mean, if he's able to win next year, and you know, maybe even if he doesn't get Michael Porter Jr. and he's still able to win 15, 16, 18 games, I think that will reflect at least a little well on Kim Anderson for putting that talent together. Mm-hmm. And I think he'll get some credit for that. This isn't an all or nothing thing. But yes, if he wins and does well, that'd be great. We should try it. See how it works. See if it feels good.
That feel good kind of moment. Good afternoon. You're on the Closers.
Hey, look, Kim Anderson was brought on to be a change agent. Leaders come in to do that. They come in all types of varieties. This was Kim Anderson's role. His role was to come in, to shake things up, clean the cupboard out, and get it fresh for someone else. He did that. The new hire they have is fantastic. We're going to get better recruiting across the United States. The only thing that I can say about him is I hope that he's a reflective coach. I hope that he looks at his weaknesses over the years and he hires individuals below him that can make him better, and I hope the University of Missouri will allow him to pay those people under him what they need to pay them in order to have a great program.
Interesting that that's brought up right now. John Rothstein retweeting Paul Biancardi on Twitter, who is the Horizon League guy for National Director of Recruiting for ESPN. Quanzo Martin will add Michael Porter Sr. as an assistant per, our favorite word, sources. Michael Porter Jr. did not sign an NLI.
That's been a really weird thing. Everybody seems to say he hasn't, except the University of Washington earlier today said he did. So I don't know what's going on.
So I don't know about the second part of that.
But
however,
even if he did sign an LOI, his coach just got fired. He
correct.
Can get released.
He's released. Yeah,
correct.
He can be released. As Gabe said in the first hour, not doing so is incredibly messy on the school's part.
So let's talk about a miracle worker real quick.
Jesus?
No.
Moses.
Well, I was going to say Gary Pinkle. The last time a number one overall recruit landed in Columbia.
He was flown in on the helicopter, DGB.
That's right. And within four hours of news and notes, and within 38 minutes of it being official from the University of Missouri, The number one recruit in the nation, we've kind of sort of become the presumptive landing spot for the number one men's basketball recruit in the nation.
Men's basketball. Press on, Ray. I'm ready to build a field.
Men's basketball,
Ray. There's a lot going on right now.
Yeah, there are a lot of moving pieces. Yeah. But you want to talk about a miracle worker. It's not throwing Kim Anderson under a bus. Kim Anderson fell on a grenade for the university that he holds so dear and that treasures him. The boosters love him. And for all good reasons, he's a true son. He played under Norm and was great and did a lot of good things. And he was brought in at a very dark time to bridge a gap, like the caller said, and to put this foundation back together. You can't pay Kim Anderson for a fourth year because you can't give him an extension for what he did. You can't have a lame duck coach in the SEC at a Power 5. Sorry. Can't happen. You can't give him an extension. He can't coach. I'm sorry.
But that's the business side of it.
And that's the business side of it. Kim's a great guy. He's amazing. And it hurt him more than it hurt any of us.
Oh, I know. We were in that post. We were in some of those post games where it had a funeral air to it.
Yeah.
Because Kim was down. He was just felt like, you know, it's like every time he tries to get up, somebody kicks him in the jaw again. And he'd get up and he'd kind of get to one knee and whap, somebody get him again. And you felt for him. And I wanted him to succeed. I wanted him to be successful.
And this is the asterisk. Mm-hmm. This is the postscript to Kim, is if his roster
Is the foundation
with a couple guys, a CJ Roberts, a Michael Ajante. This roster with those three all of a sudden becomes an entirely different monster. And it's no disrespect to Kim Anderson.
Well, and it rewrites the narrative of Anderson.
Correct. For the better.
Right. There's still going to be that knot of people out there that is going to say, well, see, we should have given him a fourth year.
I mean, I think if Michael Porter Jr. is here, averaging whatever, 14, 16, 18, whatever points per game.
I'd be happy with 16,000, but okay.
You know, I would assume that some of that chorus would die off, since you wouldn't be seeing that if Kim Anderson is here. But I know how this works. I mean, this is sports is politics is everything else. We have our positions, and it's really hard to move from them. But this could go a heck of a lot better these next couple years.
Okay. I have a position I cannot move from.
The Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
We're going to try to move smartly along, or as best as we can intellectually.
I'm in trouble.
All right. We all have our think pads, which is awesome. 442-8255, and good afternoon. You're on the Closers.
I want to ask if you know what ads you run. You just ran a JCPenney after Christmas sale.
Well, happy Christmas. Well, it's after Christmas, right?
It's like Christmas in Columbia today.
But it's not the 26th.
Oh.
Somebody needs to tell you.
You're right. It's only the 15th. All right. Thank you. We'll take care of that.
Thank you.
At least somebody's
listening. You know that part where we're the inept part? We got it. We got it taken care of. So
now we just need to dribble.
Yep.
Okay. All right, let's commence to dribbling, because we were supposed to do this segment this hour with like we normally do with Bill on the NCAA bracket, and we have wound this all the way down to the highlights here. Bill Conley, Rock M Nation. You can follow him on Twitter at @SBNBillC. Our one seeds, you've got Villanova, and they'll play tomorrow night. Kansas, North Carolina, Gonzaga. We've talked about who we trust least, led by Gonzaga, and then followed immediately with Kansas, because, well, that's what they are. Who do you look at and go, man, they could be that dark horse, the one that really upsets people's apple carts?
This might just be the fact that I do lean on Ken Pomeroy's rankings a lot, but I'm really curious what West Virginia can do here. They are dependent on fouls and how they're being called and things like that, but this is a really, really good basketball team. And there are a lot of teams. It's been a weird year in that Villanova is sitting there at 3 losses. Kansas only has 4. But for the most part, a lot of really, really, really good teams have 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 losses. Mm-hmm. And I mean, maybe that's a sign of what kind of parity we're dealing with this year, but I am really, really curious about what a West Virginia can do. I'm really curious about teams with, it seems like there are quite a few that are dealing with freshmen. That's always kind of a dicey thing in the tournament. A Kentucky, an Arizona, a UCLA, don't really trust those. Really curious about the teams that shoot a ton of 3-pointers, because that's crazy volatile. You can lose to anybody and beat anybody when you take a ton of 3-pointers. Mm-hmm. But I do think that West Virginia is a team that I'm really, really interested in. The first time I went through that bracket, I had them in the Final Four and kind of went, huh, and I kept it. I'm always nervous about my picks, but I've kept it for now.
Okay. So, are they in pencil, pen?
What's a pen? It's a computer. Everything's on the computer. I don't know.
We're in a paper. You're in a paperless society, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah. That book, all those, that signing I had to do, that was the most actual writing I've done since high school.
Okay. You could have had a stamp made.
That's true.
Dang it. Well, only I thought about that one. SEC getting 5 teams in there. As the SEC offices are saying right now, we're starting to get a little bit of respect. Is the SEC starting to get a little bit of respect, or is kind of judgment day?
Well, Vanderbilt getting a 9 seed at 19 and 15. Mm-hmm. That's quite respect. That's more respect than I think they earned. So I think that was a good sign. The fact that Arkansas got a decent seed as well, 8 at least. I think they showed a decent amount of respect to the SEC. We were talking about maybe being a three bid league not very long ago. So the fact that they got 5 and they were all 9 or above is pretty good.
Every year in this tournament, you get somebody who makes a name for himself. And I think Andy Enfield was one of those, went from Florida Gulf Coast to USC, gets the huge job. Butler, they lose their coach to the NBA, and they immediately start off with another one. Shaka Smart lands a Texas gig where things aren't going very well for him. But
he landed it.
But he did land it. Who's that team out there right now that, because of what they could do, would really make everybody's eyes pop on their head coach and go, ooh.
So
he's kind of cute.
So Dan Hurley at Rhode Island.
Okay.
That's their first tournament in a long time. It did not take him, I believe, very long at all. What, 5 years, I think? Maybe, I guess that's a little bit long. But, you know, he's got them in a position they haven't been in a while. And look at their bracket. You know, first of all, Creighton in that 6-11 game, what is this, the Midwest Regional, you know, again, I lean on Pomeroy. There's very little separating the two of those teams. That's almost a 50-50 game. And if they win it, they could end up playing an Oregon team that just lost a really good player to a knee injury.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for an 11-12 seed with a coach that maybe not everybody's talking about yet, they might have a very good chance of making the Sweet 16.
Cinderella, you know, Cinderella.
My first answer here was Wichita State. They shouldn't be a Cinderella. They shouldn't be a 10 seed. They shouldn't be anywhere close
Craig
to
Marshall
a 10
would
seed.
Just thunder punch you.
And that's the other thing. That Greg Marshall's their coach. How are they possibly Cinderella? But they got a 10 seed. They once again got absolutely no respect. That was my joke on Twitter the other day. Hey, Greg, maybe you should leave and go somewhere else if you're looking for a little more respect from the committee.
We respect you.
But, I think a 10 seed counts as Cinderella, even if there are like 13 asterisks with picking Wichita State.
Okay. All right. So I think we've covered it all. Your final four.
Well, I do like West Virginia.
Okay.
And that's the one. Anytime I stray from like the one or two line, that's the one that loses in the first round. And mm-hmm. I understand that.
Okay.
I understand that people will make fun of my picks. I do like West Virginia, though. I think Louisville at this point in the Midwest. Kansas is going to lose to North Carolina Central, so they're out. you know, I... what, did I say something? I think I trust North Carolina most in the South as a whole. UCLA, again, very freshman-oriented. That's a scary sign. Kentucky the same way. They might lose to, you know, Northern Kentucky. And I think I left a region out of there, but that's... Oh, yeah. Villanova.
Three out of four is not bad for a Final Four. Don't worry about it.
Villanova.
That's 70. That's hitting 750. That's pretty solid numbers right there. That's multi-millions.
That's true.
Multi-millions.
I mean, that's how cocky I am when I fell out of bracket. I know I'm going to win just filling out three quarters of it.
Well, okay. Wow. I'm just totally dissed the other bracket. You know what? You might.
Win.
The not invited to the tournament bracket.
Right.
That's
right.
Oh, look, the NIT added an extra bracket, and they didn't even know it.
The cul-de-sac bracket. It doesn't actually feed into anywhere else.
Bill Connolly, Rock M Nation, SB Family of Nation, tell folk about the book.
50 best college football teams of all time, best with an asterisk. Interesting teams, influential teams, innovative teams. There are 50 of them, and Missouri is one of them, 1978.
And its book is broken up in wonderfully easy-to-read segments. You can either read a segment, or you can read the coaching tree and then follow along.
Yeah.
All the
bounce around however you want.
Right. It is an awesome book. Bill, thank you for the time, man. I appreciate it. I know we didn't cover a lot of the tournament, but it seemed like the coaching thing overtook. By the way, Missouri baseball leading 4-2.
Boom.
Top of the eighth.
For all the people that are there and paying attention.
Right. We'll wrap up the hour right after this.
The Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
And not quite in time to turn you right back around and send you out for the night, but we are back. If you've missed it, Missouri baseball is now tied. It's 4-4.
There's other stuff going on, too.
Bottom of the eighth. Missouri softball won the first game over Iowa, doubleheader.
And they're up 2-0 in the second.
Okay, so we got that. What else is going on?
I don't know.
First four, round two is tonight in Dayton. NIT rolls forward tonight. I'm missing something. Bill Connolly, what are we missing?
You're missing that Lavelle Moten, the NC Central coach, is the best-dressed coach in any sport in the history of the world.
Oh, better than Tony Bennett?
Yes.
What are the chances, by the way, that Illinois screws up to hire and hires Tony Bennett the singer and not Tony Bennett the coach?
I was trying to come up with something to whip that back around to you, and I got nothing.
You got nothing. Okay. All right. So Illinois probably screwed that one up now that they... But they'll pay $25 million for him.
Yeah, so that's cool.
Konzo Martin is the new head coach for the University of Missouri basketball, and Michael Porter Sr. is on the staff as well as an assistant coach. Thanks to our guest today, Gabe Yarmer from PowerMizzou.com, Darren Munz, head baseball coach over at Columbia College, and Bill Connolly, Rock M Nation. Thank you, man. Appreciate it. The book?
50 best college football teams of all time. With an asterisk.
There we go. Just doesn't feel complete when you leave that hanging out there. And Jay Sparks, thank you, man.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll be back at it again tomorrow. Until then, as always, thanks for listening. And please be careful out there.
News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.